So they sat, the rocking, tapping, impervious Roger, and Ralph fuming. Round them the close sky was loaded with stars, save where the mountain punched up a hole of blackness. There was a slithering noise high above them, the sound of someone taking giant and dangerous strides on rock or ash. Then Jack found them, and was shivering and croaking in a voice they could just recognize as his.
"Ah, I saw a thing on top."
They heard him blunder against the trunk, which rocked violently. He lay silent for a moment, then muttered,
"Keep a good lookout. It may be following."
A shower of ash pattered round them. Jack sat up.
"I saw a thing bulge on the mountain."
"You only imagined it," said Ralph shakily, "because nothing would bulge, not any sort of creature."
Roger spoke. They jumped, for they'd forgotten him.
"A frog."
Jack giggled and shuddered.
"Some frog. There was a noise, too, a kind of plop noise. Then the thing bulged."
Ralph surprised himself not so much by the quality of his voice, which was even, but by the bravado of its intention. "We'll go and look." For the first time since he had known Jack, Ralph could feel him hesitate.
"Now?"
His voice spoke for him. "Of course." He got off the trunk and led the way across the clinking cinders up into the dark, and the others followed. Now that his physical voice was silent, the inner voice of reason, and other voices too, made themselves heard. Piggy was calling him a kid. Another voice told him not to be a fool, and the darkness and desperate enterprise gave the night a kind of dentist's chair unreality. As they came to the last slope, Jack and Roger drew near, changed from ink stains to distinguishable figures. By common consent, they stopped and crouched together. Behind them, on the horizon, was a patch of lighter sky where in a moment the moon would rise. The wind roared once in the forest and pushed their rags against them. Ralph stirred. "Come on." They crept forward, Roger lagging a little. Jack and Ralph turned the shoulder of the mountain together. The glittering lengths of the lagoon lay below them, and beyond that a long white smudge that was the reef. Roger joined them. Jack whispered,
"Let's creep forward, on hands and knees. Maybe it's asleep."
Roger and Ralph moved on, this time leaving Jack in the rear for all his brave words. They came to the flat top where the rock was hard to hands and knees. A creature that bulged. Ralph put his hand in the cold, soft ashes of the fire and smothered a cry. His hand and shoulder were twitching from the unlooked-for contact. Green lights of nausea appeared for a moment and ate into the darkness. Roger lay behind him, and Jack's mouth was at his ear.
"Over there, where there used to be a gap in the rock. A sort of hump. See?"
Ashes blew into Ralph's face from the dead fire. He could not see the gap or anything else because the green lights were opening again and growing, and the top of the mountain was sliding sideways. Once more, from a distance, he heard Jack's whisper,
"Scared?"
"Not scared so much as paralyzed, hung up here, immovable on the top of the diminishing, moving mountain." Jack slid away from him. Roger bumped, fumbled with a hiss of breath, and passed onwards. He heard them whispering.
"Can you see anything?" "There!"
In front of them, only 3 or 4 yards away, was a rock-like hump where no rock should be. Ralph could hear a tiny chattering noise coming from somewhere, perhaps from his own mouth. He bound himself together with his will, fused his fear and loathing into a hatred, and stood up. He took 2 leaden steps forward. Behind them, the sliver of moon had drawn clear of the horizon. Before them, something like a great ape was sitting asleep, with its head between its knees. Then the wind roared in the forest, There was confusion in the darkness, and the creature lifted its head, holding towards them the ruin of a face. Ralph found himself taking giant strides among the ashes, heard other creatures crying out and leaping, and dared the impossible on the dark slope. Presently the mountain was deserted, save for the three abandoned sticks and the thing that bowed.